Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
.909 on KDXU. Good morning to you. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry I wasn't here yesterday. Been a little under the weather, but we are fighting back hard. I've got Michelle Graves and Danielle Larkin with me today. I didn't call you Nicole.
You can call me whatever you want.
For whatever reason, this is a weird thing, Danielle. Somewhere in my head, deep down, I guess, you look like Nicole to me, and I just can't get it out of my brain, even though I know your name is Danielle.
I know you do. I'll be Nicole. It's fine.
I started running into now. I do ball games on the radio. I do sport, football, basketball, baseball, and I'm running into kids whose dads played that I did their dad's games. And so I'll call the kid the dad's name, and they'll be, no, that's wrong. And yeah, I guess I'm getting old. I don't know. Anyway, thank you guys for coming. Danielle is a city councilman for the city of St. George, which has gotten to be a bigger and bigger and bigger job over the years. We're over 100,000 now, right?
We are actually. I looked up our population estimate yesterday because I was in a board meeting, and they're soft estimates, but it was at 109.
109? Oh, my gosh. Seemed like it was 103 yesterday.
I know.
Holy smokes. And Michelle, by the way, is Assistant Director of Parks and Community Services, which just means she's in charge of arts and events, right?
Correct. Thanks for having me.
And they both have been on the show before, so that's kind of nice. I have a couple of vets here. Considering I'm a little under the weather, it's nice to have. So if I pass out, you guys will just take over, right?
We're good. My goodness, yes. Don't pass out on us, Andy.
I'm not planning on it. But all right, let's start with some city council talk. Danielle, how long have you been on city council now?
I've been on the council for just over 5 years.
5 years, okay. If you look back 5 years ago when you first took the job and compare that to how you are now, do you feel like you've changed? Do you feel like, obviously you've learned a lot?
Yeah, I started right before COVID, so I've been through the ringer. And also, I saw a picture of myself when I ran the first time, and I think in 5 years I've aged at least 15.
Oh, that's not fair. Usually kids do that, not city council.
It's pretty bad.
But you feel like as far as attitudes and ideas, just having knowledge about things you didn't know about before is big, I guess.
Absolutely. We live in a great place, Andy.
We do.
I feel like we have a community that contributes. People care about St. George, so it makes it a lot easier job for people like me or anyone who chooses to run, because we have so much contribution from residents. I don't go anywhere that people don't say, I just love St. George, and especially people who are new here. I have someone staying in one of my rentals right now in their building, and they said to us the other day, we're just overwhelmed by how nice everyone is here, how beautiful it is, the weather, the outdoors, of course, is always our draw. But it's a nice place. If you have to serve in government, it's a nice place to do so, because it's a all hands on deck, everybody contributes kind of place.
And then yesterday, we got a little rain, and you look up the road, the Black Ridge is slick and snowy, and Cedar is inundated with inches of snow, and we're like, yeah, I like living here.
Yeah, we just shovel sunshine.
No, even if it is 115 in August, we don't care. It's better, better than that.
I agree.
Snow. So, water is always an issue, of course, in St. George. It's funny because I talked to the Water Conservancy District and they say, we don't tell the cities what to do. And then I talk to the cities and they say, well, the Water Conservancy District tells us what we should do, or at least advises us. And so I always thought it was interesting because I mean, who's in charge, right? I mean, as far as water is concerned, you do take advice, right, from the Water Conservancy District on what should happen, what can happen?
Oh, of course. Yeah. We need to all be on the same page when it comes to water. So it's very important that the entire county is collaborating, that there's no one who's refusing to be part of the solution. And you're right, water has always been an issue. It was an issue for the Mormon pioneers. It was an issue for the indigenous people here who were here before them. And it always will be an issue. We live in the desert. We built, an oasis in the desert. So we're always going to have to be cognizant of our use and be smart. And the district does have a 20-year water plan that is very smart, and it comes at the water issue from all angles.
I unfortunately looked up the water totals from yesterday. At the airport, they only recorded 1/100 of an inch, which means we're at 1.77, which means this time of year, by the end of March, so early April, we're at 5 inches normally in our rainfall. We're at 1.77 inches. We are not out of a drought. Unfortunately, Pine Mountain or Pine Valley Mountain, depending on what you, who calls it, how old you are maybe, is not covered in snow like we hoped it would be normally this time of year, although I hear the north side still has some. But is there a fear, a frustration? Or I mean, I feel like Zach Grinstrom I'm talking about, has said we're good this year.
Yeah, I feel like that's why it's so important for us to have these plans and to collaborate, because this won't be the last year that we'll see drought, and we'll see good years and we'll see bad years and probably more bad years as, you know, we watch what's happening globally. So we just have to be smart about it. We have to share, we have to work together, and we should be okay this year, but it just drives home the point that we need to be smart about our water use.
Now tell me, I don't know if you got to go out to San Diego, but I know a lot of folks went out to San Diego and looked at their water reuse plans out there. It's funny because one of the local media outlets wrote a story about how St. George is going to drink poo water and all this stuff, and people were up in arms, and how can this happen? And I just thought to myself, you know, there are other cities, like right down the road here, 110 miles from us, Las Vegas, they've been using reuse water for a long time. And for that kind of piece to come out and people to freak out, I didn't understand. What were your thoughts on all that?
Well, we have to remember that our atmospheric system, the way it works, we're always reusing water.
That's true.
We always have. We always will. It's the same water recirculating. So the fact that we're talking about different ways to recirculate that water, people need to remember that's the water that they've subsisted on.
That's
always
Earth.
That's Earth.
Earth.
That's
is
the
a
way
closed
Earth
system.
Works. Yes. So we're going to be just fine with that.
Does St. George need then a big water reuse plant system in place?
We have it already, but we're expanding it.
Okay.
So we have a water reuse system. It's expanding, and we will continue to expand it. We're working with the district to expand that system so that right now that water is brought to a secondary level so it can be used on fields and on parks.
Right.
Eventually we'll bring it to a culinary level. And I don't know when that will be, but that's what we're planning, is to be able to get it to a space where it could be potable.
And people need to be assured that it will be safe.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people are like, ooh, you know, and Zach even said to me one time, we got to get past the ick factor.
Yeah.
If we get past the ick factor, we'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be just fine. And there's smart technologies, new technologies coming out every day. That's what we're so blessed to live in, a high technological era.
Yeah.
Because there are new innovations coming out that will make it easier, faster, cheaper for us to clean our water and to reuse it.
Do you ever see a time, Danielle, when we're going to have to limit building and maybe put some restrictions and say you just can't do it right now? Or do you think we're prepared enough that we'll be fine?
Well, I just think economically we're going to have to look at a more holistic system. Like, you cut off just one thing and the ripple effects of that are so negative for your economy. So we just need to be more intelligent than that. We need to look at it as a holistic solution and not cut off one specific thing. But if we limit overall gradually, then we're able to keep our economy going in a strong way. And I mean, let's face it, we've all benefited from the St. George economy being as strong as it has been. It's why our property taxes are so low. We've been able to continue, you know, receiving a lot of sales tax over the years. And even though that's one-time money and we can't always depend on it, we've used it and benefited from it in a lot of ways. So every resident benefits from us working together and creating a holistic system that keeps our economy strong.
Do you have thoughts on, changing topics real quick, on the Ironman leaving? This one coming up is the last one here.
Yeah.
For maybe ever, but at least for now.
Yeah, my husband's actually participated in it, and my daughter quite a bit. And my husband's doing it this year again, just because it's last year. I think Michelle's doing it with a team also.
All right.
And yeah, I just think that there are things that come and go. Like, we have our standards, our marathon. We'll talk about that today. And that's kind of been our thing that we created here in our city. And I hope we'll always have it. I love the Ironman. My family's always participated in it. But I also think that, you know, I do think that these kind of big events can take a hit on our city, even just with our volunteer base. So I personally think it's okay to see these things kind of transition, come and go. Maybe the Ironman will come back eventually. But I think we're going to have fun with it this year. We'll enjoy it while it's here. And now we've got new events coming in. We've got the LPGA coming. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I think that's one of the things about our city and our county is we're really welcoming to these kind of events. But we also have to be careful that we don't burden our system so much that people get burned out by it.
I was just going to say burnout is a real thing. Anybody that's done any kind of job, no matter how much you love your job, Michelle, I know you love your job, but no matter how much you love your job, you can get burned out if you don't get a little time off, right?
Oh, I love my job. It's like having, you know, parties to go to every weekend. So, but yes, nice. I agree that we want to find that balance for sure of welcoming the community to get to know each other through doing fun, interesting things, you know, which often are events, but not burdening our volunteer base or just the, you know, the wear and tear of the roads and the inconveniences that sometimes come with those events that do bring great tax benefits. So there is a balance, and I think we'll be always striving for that, especially as we grow.
Moderation in all things, right, Andy?
Yeah.
It's always the answer.
That's what they tell me, yeah. Danielle, how would you gauge it? It seemed like a year or two ago, the temperature of the city council meetings was getting really warm.
Yeah, it was warm.
You know, we had lawsuits and people getting fired and drag show talk and all this stuff.
Yeah.
What's the temperature of city council right now?
I feel like we're on a really good trajectory right now. I feel like the city is getting a lot done. I mean, you can see what we're accomplishing, what we're building. Getting the taxes, the wrap tax and the bond passed helped us to, we're hoping to finish out our system with our parks and our trails so that then it becomes a system that we maintain and keep up over time. I mean, our city boundaries are only so big, but we want everyone to have access to a park. We want everyone to be able to connect to a trail. Having that money that the citizens voted for to do that helps us. And then we, you know, hopefully can just maintain those systems that we've created in perpetuity and have a really active community where people feel safe. I mean, that's our goal always. So I feel like right now we are accomplishing a lot of those things. We're on a strong trajectory. We're doing City Hall. We've got Station One being built for the fire station, fighters downtown, and that will be wonderful to get that off 1000 East. It's been challenging for them to access and exit right there by the university and on 1000 East. So moving to 400 East will be safer. We're doing a lot of good things, and our meetings have been productive. It's been lovely.
We had Janine Burton on the other day, a retired history teacher, talking about women in History Month. And I was thinking, you know, our city council has three women. Our mayor is a woman. Maybe that's why things are going smoothly right now.
when it comes to the balance between people, I love to see diversity on councils, you know, whether it be male, female, like different ethnicities, different thought processes. The better we can balance those boardrooms, the better we can balance our councils, the better outcomes we get, because people just come with different viewpoints, right? And so the more perspectives we can bring in from our community, the better outcomes we get in our decisions. And I actually do think it's really healthy that our council has strong, healthy debates. We had a debate a few weeks ago about a project, and it ended up like with a 2-2 vote, and the mayor broke the tie. And I had several people reach out and say, is that so stressful to you? And I said, no, that's how it should be.
How it's supposed to be. Yeah.
We should be having those healthy, strong debates, and we should be meeting somewhere in the middle. And hopefully that's when we find the best solutions. So sometimes I know it makes people uncomfortable when we have those debates, but that's really the way that our systems were set up.
A 5-0 vote is easy, right? I mean, if all of you agree on something, okay, that's fine. But the ones that really matter, I think the important issues usually end up in some kind of, you know, 4-1, 3-2, or maybe a 2-2 with the mayor having to vote if you have someone not there. So that's big.
Yeah.
Now, where do you see St. George in the county? Obviously, it's the biggest city in the county by far. Does St. George need to be a leader in every aspect? I mean, we talk water, all these different infrastructure, et cetera. Does St. George need to be the one that all the other cities look to?
We need to be the leader, but we also need participation. You know, you look at the homeless shelter. We helped start that, and it has been amazingly successful. Carol Hollowell and her team have been, in fact, the entire state, and I believe many in the nation, are looking to them for the model that they use, which is a hand up instead of a handout model. And it has been incredibly successful. St. George started that. We need everyone else in the county, all the other cities and the county, to help us with those types of programs. So yes, we need to be the leader. We need to lead the way along with the county, but we also need participation. And I say that knowing that the other cities in our county have been participants. We are all friends. We work well together. We collaborate, and we just have to continue to do so. But those kind of things, a bigger city can often take the lead because they have the capacity with more residents and a bigger staff. But we absolutely need those other cities to buy in on those things, things like the Dove Center. We need everybody in on that project. We need everyone's help. So there's, and when it comes to water, we already talked about that. When it comes to transportation, I sit on the Dixie Transportation Executive Committee along with, Councilman Hughes and Mayor Randall. We meet with the entire county once a month, and it's incredibly important that we collaborate our transportation systems.
And by the way, I don't know if you were part of this, the Transportation Expo was amazing. It was so fun to be a part of.
Yeah, I was part of it. And I work with not only the city there, but also with the Southern Utah Bicycle Alliance. And that's something that we talk about every month is we'll never have a good transportation system if it's all cars. You know, when every time that I've run, well, I've only run twice, but both times I've run for city council, people constantly say, please don't turn us into Los Angeles. Well, what Los Angeles is a completely car-centric community. So they sprawled, and then they created these massive highways. And what people do is they spend a lot of their life just sitting in traffic, sitting in cars.
Hours a day.
Hours and hours a day. We don't want to be that. So that's why we are working really hard to create a multimodal system that you can get places in your cars. I am not anti-car. I have a business that has an entire fleet of trucks that need to be able to get where they need to go to provide service. We need them to be able to move about the city in an efficient way. So we have to have a system that allows people to use different modes of transportation, or we will be following the same pattern as LA, and we will just end up with traffic gridlock.
So you look probably out of your peripheral vision, you can see all the cars zipping by on Bluff Street with the speed limit 45 and seven lanes now. What is your opinion, though, then, when you see a road like Bluff Street? Obviously, it's needed right now. But what do you see the future of Bluff Street being? Is this something that makes you uncomfortable?
Well, so there's this concept of streets and roads. Mm-hmm. So a road is something that gets people from point A to point B really fast. So a road would be the concept of like a highway. Mm-hmm. A street is a space that builds wealth. So cities need to have streets, which means like because you're seeing all these businesses out here, Andy, that are also along Bluff Street, they need to be able to make money, which means they need people to be able to slow down and to stop in front of their business and to see their signs. And so building within our city what we would look at as a street, which means people can walk, they can ride their bike, they can push their baby in a stroller, they can use their car, they can use a scooter. Like there's all these different ways for them to get to the places that they need to go so that our city can build wealth. It's really an economic model, and it's an economic model that's sustainable. So I look at something like Bluff Street, and right now we actually are meeting with UDOT and talking about how do we make Bluff Street safer? Because Bluff Street is actually one of our most dangerous roads where we have the highest accident rates. And at higher speeds, those accidents are extremely bad. They can be deadly, as opposed to an accident generally that happens. You take down 5 miles per hour, down to 35, down to 25, and those accidents are completely different. They're still dangerous. They can still be harmful. They're not deadly like they are at 40, 50, you know, generally. Right. So everything that we do is constantly looking at how can we make our city safer, more sustainable, and more economically vibrant. That's our goal.
It seems to, with the growth though, kind of butting heads right up against that. It's like, okay, how do we do that? But also add, now we're 109,000, maybe by next year we're 115,000. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how do those work together?
What you do is you create these small city centers. So you think about it, if every time you need a gallon of milk, you have to drive 7 miles to get it, that's problematic. If you can go to your corner store and get a gallon of milk, then that just cut one trip out. And every time you're sitting in traffic, it's really important to think of yourself as, I am the traffic. because us driving constantly, we are the traffic. So we have to look at it holistically. How can we as a community help individually to cut down traffic? What can we do to cut down our number of trips so that we aren't creating traffic? And it goes so far beyond that. It's our air quality. It's our quality of life. Sure. You know, I mean, I don't want us to have the air quality of Salt Lake City. I grew up there. I have bad lungs. Every time I go back, I start coughing within an hour.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah, my daughter lives in the Avenues. She has had to deal with the inversion. My family's still up there. It's very bad. And I don't want us to become that. And right now we're not. Like, we actually have been able to maintain our air quality. That won't be able to be sustainable if we aren't smart about the way that we grow. We can grow and grow in an intelligent way.
There are some big cities. I'm from Texas. Houston has what they call the Spaghetti Bowl.
Yeah.
It is a mind-boggling maze almost of all these different freeways coming together, different ways that you can go. And if you, I saw an above, like a drone shot of it from above, and it was like, how in the world can that be real? It didn't seem real because there were so many different ways that you can go. And I just thought, we don't want that for, I mean, we have this, I mean, you look out my window right here. We have the beautiful Red Rock. We don't want that to be covered up with ribbons of highway.
And also, we don't want to stop growth. And I know a lot of people are frustrated by that. They're like, just stop the growth. Where will your kids live?
Yeah.
Where will my kids live? Where will our grandkids live? Stopping the growth is its own problem. It creates a whole nother slew of problems. And what it really creates is an enclave for wealthy people, because this is a desirable place to come. So then only wealthy people can afford to live here. So I don't want us to make that decision. I want us to grow in an intelligent way that maintains our quality of life here. And we know how to do it. We just have to buckle down and do it, which means more density. It means things like, you know, will buildings be a little taller? They will. They don't have to be high rises. We don't have to look like Abu Dhabi.
Right.
But we have to allow some density that allows us to be able to stay here and not just shut the door to people who are either being born into the city or who would like to come.
I agree. I have, of my five children, one of them lives here in St. George still. The other four are up north because they couldn't find the employment pay ratio to the housing ratio that would make it so they could live comfortably. And it makes me sad.
Yeah. So. But if all we do is embrace sprawl, then that's where we're going. Yeah. So that's our trick.
Yeah. All right. We've largely ignored Michelle. We're not going to do that anymore after we take this quick commercial timeout. Back with more on the Andy Griffin Show after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. Danielle Larkin and Michelle Graves from St. George City are both here today. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
I went from the best looking person in the room to now I'm third place. What happened here? Because I was alone before.
That's debatable.
I guess it depends on which way you lean on that one. But thank you guys for coming in again. I really appreciate it. I know some big events coming up in this city. And a lot of it's about art. And that's why Michelle is here, right, Michelle?
I think that's why I was invited. So thank you for having me.
By the way, it's Mayor Thursday. Mayor Randall texted me a couple of days ago, and her ankle looks awful. I don't know if you guys saw that picture. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
It's almost like
gnarly.
Yeah, something got to her. But hopefully that's healing. I don't know. Is it on the mend or is it?
Yeah, she had surgery.
Oh, man.
So she's on the mend.
Wow. Yeah. I think, you know, I've had some health problems the last few years myself, but nothing compared to Tony and Michelle. They It seems like one of them's always in the hospital.
I know. She's the strongest woman I know. So yeah. She's doing great.
Pretty amazing. So, okay, coming up, Michelle, let's go Art Around Corner first. Tell us about Art Around the Corner.
Yeah, so Art Around the Corner is a sculpture gallery that we are so blessed to have. It comes around every year.
And tell people, this is not, you don't go into a building, a stuffy place,
That's
and then,
right.
you know, you're sipping little lattes and you got your order. No, these are out in the street.
Yeah, we're trying to debunk that idea, even for our St. George Art Museum. Everyone is welcome. It's not a stuffy place. But this is a really neat concept that I think St. George was so innovative in starting in 2004, and that was to have public art on display. And the neat thing about Art Around the Corner is that these pieces are here, and they're being leased for the year, so they're also for sale. So we encourage residents. I have neighbors that have purchased them, and they look so beautiful in their yard.
I was going to say, it's been very successful, hasn't it?
Super successful. Yeah. And you just get to, it just refreshes the downtown area every year because you get these new beautiful pieces of art.
Let's do a quiz real quick. Danielle, most famous Art Around the Corner sculpture that you can think of right now, give me three.
Well, the guitar.
The guitar.
The big dragon. Yeah. And then, of course, the pink shoe. Do you remember the controversy with Gerry Anderson's pink shoe?
I don't. Was there a controversy?
Yeah. It was pretty funny. It was like a high-heeled pink shoe, and some people said, oh, we don't want that high-heeled pink shoe in St. George. So that one it was funny. It was great. Gerry's an amazing artist.
Wasn't the spider maybe the big most...
That was the one that came to my mind.
Should have come to my mind. Yeah, that was our very first.
That spider one. And that was the spider was one of those polarizing ones. You either loved it or you hated it.
Same
there
with
was
the
nobody
dragon.
In the middle.
Same with the dragon. It was interesting. We got emails within 2 days of that dragon being up from people saying they absolutely hated it. They wanted it gone. And then when it left, I've never received more emails for a single piece of art than for that dragon, and it was to keep it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
St. George and Dragon, it makes sense, right?
I know.
Well, you know, you have the whale in Salt Lake, and it's been the same. I think really good art should bring to, you know, those kind of controversies.
Emotions.
Because it's emotions. Yeah, it's subjective, and but it also adds whimsy and fun, and I think that's what these sculptures do to the downtown area.
The other one that pops into my mind, Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty's great, now the city actually purchased Humpty Dumpty, and Humpty Dumpty lives in front of the St. George Children's Museum.
Right.
And I want to debunk something. Every year I hear, why is the city spending all this money on to bring all this art down? This was started as a collaboration by a nonprofit art organization, Art Around the Corner, and the city. And the city's contribution is that they let the art be outside. And so the city, everybody in the city benefits. The artists are incredibly generous to bring their really expensive pieces down and let us host them for a year. Their hope, with their fingers crossed, is that we sell them, but there's so many that we don't sell. And the program is really sustainable by sales. So it's important that we do sell some of the art and that people start looking at it. And if they've got a place, if you're doing a parade home and you want to put a piece of art, come and buy it from Art Around the Corner, because it helps that program that the community is getting basically for free to stay alive. And I mean, Matt Clark, you know, the artist Matt Clark, mm-hmm. Andy. So mm-hmm. he and Eldian Trueblood and a team started it in 2004. And the fact that it's still going is really a testament to the way that the city of St. George collaborates with nonprofit groups and creates these great opportunities for us to get something for such a small amount of money that's such a big bang for our art community.
It really is. You think about that guitar, and is it still there in the park?
Yes.
I imagine it took a little, first of all, to put together, obviously, and then to actually assemble it and install it, which is pretty incredible. I love it.
Yeah, that artist is named Devron Farley, and he does a lot of large-scale art that's been really popular in the city. He's also the creator of the dragon and of the spider, so he's created a lot of the
does
large
pieces. Does he
have
something big for us this year, Michelle?
Well, we have 38 pieces this year. So we will be seeing definitely a piece from him, but also all these other artists from as far as British Columbia. So both local, regional, and then one from Canada. So really exciting year.
And the hope is eventually somebody will say, I really love that so much, I want to buy it. That's the goal.
Definitely. That is the goal. That's why artists trust us to bring their pieces here in hopes that they can sell.
So when are these going to start appearing, and how many and how often and all that stuff?
Yeah, so we will start installing this Friday. So if you want to come down to
Tomorrow,
Town Square,
right?
No,
a
the
week,
11th
Friday.
Week, okay.
Thank you. Yeah. So on the 11th, you'll see the Parks Department working to help the artists who will be coming into town get those pieces on pedestals and properly placed. And then we will finish up Saturday morning. There is a Washington County parade Parade that the fair will be putting on Saturday the 12th at 9 a.m. And then from 10 to 12, we will be having a big party welcoming all the new sculptures with the artists there. And people can come and talk to the artists and find out what was their inspiration to make these pieces and ask questions and kind of get that first tour. There'll be a little bit of refreshments and things like that at the park. So I just encourage everyone that is already coming for the parade or anyone that wants to walk the downtown, that'll really be the time to do it and the opportunity to meet the artists there on April 12th from 10 to 12.
Okay, so a week from Saturday, everything's going to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whole new show.
Is there, can you give us any kind of sneak preview, any kind of hint on what we might see?
Have you seen them, Michelle?
I have seen, when they were jurying them, I saw them.
I haven't seen them yet. They're going to be a surprise for me.
Yeah, okay. I think that they really like it that way, to be a surprise to everyone. So I don't know that there's one standout piece. There are so many good ones. I will say this is the biggest show that the city has ever put on, and it really is a testament to how this nonprofit group has grown, because they get so many good applicants now that we just try to accommodate as many as we can because of the beautification and the enhancement that it brings to the downtown area. So I don't think you'll be disappointed.
And can I add, I really think people should come down and talk to the artists. There is nothing more fun than standing in front of one of those big pieces and asking the artist, like, what was your inspiration? Because you can look at something, and maybe even if it's an abstract piece. I have an abstract piece that I bought like in 2005 or six from the artist Dan Toon, and it's called Out of Africa. Well, you would never know that. It's like it's a tall metal piece with a blue rock on top that's actually shaped like the continent of Africa. And I just fell in love with it after I heard him tell the story of what that piece meant to him, how he was inspired to make it. You know, to him, it was like it inspires me to look to God. So he had this whole story that went with the piece. And once I heard the story, then I just fell in love. And I loved the look of the piece already, but then hearing his story. So if people want to come down and really be inspired from 10 to 12 on April 12th, that Saturday after the fair parade, they really should. It's so much fun to meet these artists and hear their inspiration.
It is, if you can believe it, folks, it's already April 3rd. So it's not like we're talking, hey, way in the future, all this stuff is happening very, very soon, and including the art fair we're going to talk about in a minute. And of course, art around the corner and all those sculptures. I'm actually looking forward to it. Michelle, come on. There's got to be one that's just like, whoa. Come on, just one.
Well, I really love all the art, but, you know, probably our local artist, Matt Clark, is one of my favorites. He just produces great works consistently for us year after year. So
absolutely.
If you don't know his work, I encourage you to at least know your next door local artist. He's really great.
Good answer.
I do want to say, too, this really is the art month. So during that same time that Art Around the Corner will be installing, we also are having a plein air art festival. And for those of you that don't know, plein air is French and refers to the practice of painting outdoors. So we will have all these artists painting outdoors during next week as well. And so one really fun little thing you could do if you want to is to visit the Red Hills Desert Garden on Tuesday, April 8th from 9 to 12. There will be artists out there painting. There will be a violinist playing music, and you can see plein art in action. And then that will culminate with their show at the Social Hall on Friday. I believe it's Friday. I'm going to look this up. From 3 to 6 p.m. So plein air festival going on all week. You can get online.
April 12th is a Saturday, by the way.
Okay. I'm sorry. Then yeah, it's Saturday. Yeah. Yes. To visit that.
I've meant to turn that calendar over to April. I haven't yet, but that one over there is turned over to April.
Thank you. Because it is. It's like you can do Art Around the Corner in the morning, and then you can go to the Social Hall in the evening to see the plein air artists showcase as well. So big day that day for sure. And then we'll get into next week, which is even more exciting.
Now, do you know?
Or as exciting, I should say.
You're saying we can watch these artists do their thing, right?
Right.
Actually paint. Do you know, so I'm a writer. I love to write, but I hate it when people look over my shoulder while I'm writing. Drives me, I can't do it. It breaks my whatever. Do you know if these are they okay, people watching them? It seems like that'd be harder to me.
I think that would be a great question to ask.
Okay, I will.
It is a great question. I think most of them are okay because they volunteered to do it. And so I think they really just enjoy the interaction with the public and being able to share.
See, your job on City Council, Danielle, everybody's watching you all the time.
Everybody, I know. So, it's a spotlight for sure.
I just can't do it. But ask my wife, though. I'll be riding along and she'll come and look over my shoulder. I'm like, how long are you going to be there, dear? Because I really can't write while you're right there.
But you're very comfortable in your craft of speaking with us. So that's maybe they are as artists as well.
Yeah. Now, you talked about next week. Let's do this. Let's get a quick commercial break in. When we come back, we'll talk about next week and what's happening. Oh, my gosh. The art fair is almost here. It's close. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. It's 10 minutes to 10 o'clock. Wow, the morning's flying by. I'm here with Danielle and Michelle, two of my favorite ladies. Appreciate you girls being here. Girls and ladies,
us.
Women? What do I call? I don't even know what to call
We're
them.
All of the above.
Yeah, okay. We're talking now about art, and we're talking specifically coming up. I can't believe how close it is. It is the art festival. Now, Michelle, I don't know how long art festival's been going, but I remember coming here as a young person and going to the art festival, and I didn't live here yet. And I was like, this is so cool. We should come every year. And then I moved here.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but this is the 47th year.
Okay. So I would have been about 12 when it started.
Okay. Well, yeah. There you go. So you've been here since the start.
Been
and
coming
it,
to them,
you
yeah.
know, it started with two great artists that are local to this area, Glenn Blakely, who has passed, and Roland Lee. And what a mark they've made by starting a festival like this. A fine art juried show. This year we had over 400 applicants, and we'll have a record number of 188 participants.
So now, I think that's important to mention. You mentioned juried and the fact that not everyone that applies gets in. What does that exactly mean as far as, I mean, if I paint paintings in my backyard, should I be in the festival?
You are definitely welcome to apply. We don't have a ruling over what, you know, or who an artist is. But it isn't a craft show, and that's where people sometimes get a little bit mixed up. So it is a fine art show.
So we're talking about paintings, sculptures, what else?
3D. We have
a lot of photography.
Jewelry.
I noticed, yeah.
Yeah, photography, glass. We have 12 categories that you can apply in.
Very cool. Now, the festival is a Friday-Saturday event, correct?
It is.
That would be the 18th and 19th. Tell us about what it entails and what to expect.
Great. Well, Friday we'll open the doors at 10 a.m. and the show will run until 7. And then at 7 o'clock, we are going to have our headliner concert, which will be a really fun band called Yachty by Nature. And they will play all your favorite hits of the 70s and 80s. So wear your best yacht clothing.
That's flying right through my time zone there.
Yeah, you'll
love that.
Yeah. I'll love it too. I'm right with you. And then on Saturday, the show will run from 10 to 6. And we'll have another concert called The Greeting Committee, and they're an American indie rock band. And so I don't know if you know, but during the festival, we have a lot going on. We have a film festival that you can participate in over at the Electric Theater. We have over 30 food vendors, and we have three stages with over 30 performers happening during the whole festival. We have a kids area that's really fun. We do duck races, and there are free crafts for families to make and take with their children. So we really try to include that younger generation to become budding artists. And we also have, because we're great at this, it's in St. George's, we have a race, and it's called the Art Attack Race. And you actually win. If you win, you get a piece of art made by a local artist. So we try to incorporate as much fun as we can. That Art Attack Race happens Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right before the festival opens. So much to do, something for everyone, which is important to our planning, is including everyone without barrier to entry. It's free. So that's the best part.
I love the food trucks, too, as part of it. So basically, my plan, as always, every year we do this. We start at one end. We walk down to the end. There's usually, I think, three rows, right? Maybe four. Walk up the other end. Walk down to the other end. That's where the food trucks are. Then go get some lunch and then finish up our walking through. And sometimes we buy stuff even. And it's just a really fun experience. And I encourage everyone to go to the St. George Art Festival. Again, it is April 18th and 19th, so not this weekend, not the next weekend, but the next weekend. Now, do you anticipate, Michelle, people will know that the county fair is going on at the same time. Is that going to hurt numbers for both places? Do you think there's room for both?
Oh, I definitely think there's room for both. The county fair will be culminating, so you have opportunity to be there all week and also all weekend, I think. In a day, you can easily hit both locations and have a great time and really plan on spending the day outdoors with your family because there's lots to do and see, and it's free.
Usually the weather is perfect mid to late April for the St. George Art Festival. In fact, you guys were talking about during a break about how the county fair used to be in August, and imagine having a festival of any kind in August outside in southern Utah in Washington County. That's brutal.
Yeah, way too hot.
Yeah, we try not to plan things in August here.
Yeah, except for staying home, sitting by the air conditioner.
That's right. Well, and Andy, in addition, if people come down to the art festival or when they come down to the art festival, we have another big art installation that's happening downtown. The City View Apartments, they have this giant parking garage. And when the city agreed, originally that was supposed to be underground. When the city agreed to allow them to have it be above ground, the agreement was that Peg Development, who was building it, would also do a mural on the outside of that parking garage. That is actually happening now. The artist will be there for the next 4 weeks. So if you come down to the art festival, it's basically on 100 West, just north of where the art festival is happening, between Tabernacle and the Boulevard. And it is this fantastic giant mural that's coming and is being created right now by an artist named Pepe Gacca, who's from Italy. And he's a lot of fun to talk to. So,
Mamma Mia. All
yeah,
right.
He's great.
And that's different than the paint night mural that we're all
totally
contributing
different
to.
The paint night mural is going inside the new city hall.
Okay.
So those are tiles that will be protected inside. This is an exterior mural on a cement wall.
Okay. We got 2 minutes to talk about that paint night mural, Michelle. I know paint nights are sold out right now, or not sold out. They're filled up for April, right? But you can get in May. And I guess, tell me if I'm wrong, you get a little 4-inch tile. You can paint whatever you want on it as long as it's within the color scheme that they give you. And ultimately, it's going to create a very large mural. Is that right?
That's correct. It's kind of a legacy piece for all the citizens of St. George to be able to participate in an art project. So you can paint whatever St. George means to you without using words. And it's really fun. We've set up a bunch of paint nights that you can just sign up for online. Come and be involved in it. We'll be adding more for May and June. We're hoping to get them all done by the end of June. But also, if you have a big group that you want to put together on your own, we will potentially come to you. So we have 1,000 tiles to paint, and we're about halfway through, but we want as many citizens to be involved in that project as possible.
And it's important to note, if you have zero painting talent whatsoever, like me, you can still do it.
That's right. Artists can paint a tile in about 15 minutes. Mine took 3 hours, and I'm not super impressed by it, but I'm happy that I get that little legacy piece of my own.
As long as the color's the right scheme, right?
Yeah.
So when you go there, they actually give you the color scheme that you're, and even the I don't know, markers or paints.
You pick the palette. We have all the supplies that you need. You just come with a concept and a design, and we walk you through it. It's really easy, fun, free.
And then you have the legacy of always being a part of the city hall. So your piece is in the city hall forever.
Have you done one yet, Danielle?
I have. My entire family has done it, and we had a lot of fun.
And hers were really good. They have a very talented family.
I have an artistic family, so we got creative.
Having said that, it doesn't have to be really good, right? Because mine will not be.
I'm happy to show you mine.
All right. So Art Festival, not too far away. Of course, Paint Night filled up for April, but you said you can go online to the city website and sign up for May and June?
Absolutely. May right now, and more dates to come.
Very cool. Well, we really appreciate you guys coming in. One last note. We're down to 30 seconds. The marathon. Tell us, I guess you can sign up now.
I just want to say it opened April 1st. We're we're getting close to halfway full. So it's really hot. So we don't want you to miss the opportunity. You can always transfer or defer if it doesn't work for you this year, but don't miss the opportunity to sign up. Sign up is going on right now.
Maybe 6 months away, but you'll be sorry if in 5 months you try to sign up and there aren't any spots available. All right. Thank you, Michelle and Danielle. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Andy.
We'll be back tomorrow. Open Line Friday.